This is tape number 6 of the book by Herbert W. Armstrong, The Missing Dimension in Sex.
The bridegroom should realize and not forget that on this wedding night, above all, he must not embarrass his wife. If she wishes to undress in privacy, give her the opportunity. When ready for bed, remember, nearly all women want either darkness or very subdued light. That's one of the differences between human male and female. Remember, too, that although the maker of us all made the female body to be attractive, beautiful, and even sex-arousing to the male, the female mind is altogether different. No man should display his body, or especially the pubic region, before the new bride, above all on this wedding night. The fact that God talked to the first man and his wife in their complete nudity, that they were not ashamed, Genesis 2:25, and God made no effort at that time to cover them, does indicate that God imposes no command that husband and wife always be covered before each other. It is after the public, other people, all living, are mentioned in Genesis 3:20, that God, verse 21, clothed them. This would indicate that there is no prohibition against nudity between husband and wife in the privacy of their own bedroom. But regardless, no bridegroom ought to embarrass or shock his new bride by displaying his body or demanding that she display hers on this wedding night. Take plenty of time to get used to one another. As you value your future marriage together, be careful. Avoid embarrassment. Take time. Read again the instruction given in chapter 11 about how a husband and wife ought to appear before each other in bedroom privacy. The bedclothes, undergarments, careful grooming. The new husband should not think of this wedding night as a night of sensual pleasure, but a night of love. This is the most critical night of his life. The fate of a lifelong marriage could be at stake. The experience of this night may determine the bride's attitude toward the sexual relationship for life. And her attitude is the all-important thing. She has, in all probability from girlhood, had an idealistic picture in her mind of marriage and husband. Don't destroy it. All-important bride's attitude. The curse of so many millions of marriages through the centuries prior to 1914 was the attitude of wives toward it and toward the sexual relation. This attitude, of course, was formed by false repressive teachings and by ignorance. The reader of this volume is blessed with the right and proper teaching and with true and wholesome knowledge. Still, much of the entire lifelong marriage relationship depends on a right attitude on the part of the wife. The properly instructed bride, with a correct view of love and marriage, looks forward to this moment, the wedding night, as the fulfillment of the purpose of her youth. She has accepted the right man. He is her ideal. She is in love. She doesn't fear him as a stranger. As he now takes her into his arms, she happily and impulsively embraces him. She must now realize that he is the complement of her mind and body. Alone, she has been incomplete, imperfect. He is the stronger of the two. Now they are to be joined as one. His strength is to be added to, combined with, her weaker physical nature. This is the moment for her to simply give herself to him, to surrender herself to him, in loving embrace and in the pleasure and ecstasy of the moment. As one writer has stated it, this surrender to her husband is a modest tribute to be paid for the present and future happiness of marriage and motherhood. Conclusion. In final conclusion, remember that sex in humans was designed and created by the ever-living, all-wise God as the symbol of life, for through it human life is begotten, and the expression of love. The eternal God is working out his greatest and grandest purpose here below. That purpose is the reproduction of his own kind, holy, righteous, and perfect character in the divine family of the ever-living God. Humans, physically begotten and born through sex, may be spiritually begotten and divinely born of God, entering the eternally living God family. As physical reproduction is the type and forerunner of spiritual begettal and glorification, so marital love is the type of Christ's love for his church and our love for Christ. The wife's giving of herself in the ecstasy of love and in obedience to her husband is the type and physical counterpart of those in God's church giving themselves in love and obedience to the Christ who bought and paid for us with his life's blood. God Almighty is the source of life and of love. Human sex is the symbol and physical counterpart of both, the source of physical life and marital love. These are holy, righteous, and sacred things. The marriage and family relationships are God-plane relationships which God shares with humans, and humans only. A perverted, hostile devil has deceived his world into two extremes away from this beautiful and central truth. First, he represented sex, physical sources of life and marital love, as something degrading, shameful, and evil. Today, he leads people to the opposite extreme, away from truth, into accepting the perverted and profaned and lustful uses of sex as being acceptable and good. In this volume, those lying, foul, deceptively false attitudes have been exposed and the blessed truth made plain. But remember, the all-important thing is mental attitude. Few indeed ever think of the supreme importance of mental attitude in relation to the sex response. But before concluding this book, remember this basic all-important truth. God created people after the God kind, not after the cattle kind, the horse kind, dog kind, or any other animal kind. Stamp in your mind the vast difference between the purpose and use of sex in animals compared to humans. In both animals and humans, sex provides the means of reproducing one's kind. But God designed and created sex to serve an altogether different purpose in humans than in animals. And directly associated with it is another vast difference. Animals, like humans, have brains. But animals were not created with the mind power of the thinking process, of free moral agency, of responsibility for direction, right choices, rational direction, and performance. Animals have brains, but not the spirit that operates in conjunction with brain in man. They are endowed with instinct, but not with the mind power of the human spirit functioning with the human brain to function as mind power. This spirit in humans, plus the fact that man was designed and made in the image of God, endows man with the supreme privilege of access to direct contact with God and ultimately sonship of being born a divine son in the God family as a very God being. How transcendently important. Now see where this spiritual endowment leads to a vast difference in sexual response. God gave us humans the privilege of expressing outflowing love, a spiritual expression, through sexual union, something entirely foreign to animals. But this very divinely endowed privilege carries with it a stern character-building responsibility. In humans, this spiritually intended right use may be directed in the opposite direction of lust. That is a part of the awe-inspiring human prerogative for which we are charged with accountability. God is the great giver. God's law, his basic way of life, is outflowing love. But Satan has led a deceived world to call lust love, to call sin okay, to call wrong right, to turn God's values upside down. Therefore, I simplify the basic way of God's law. I term it the way of give as opposed to the way of get. In his love for his prospective children, God gave us humans the physical sensations of exotic pleasure in a manner animals know nothing of. By the sense of sight, we may enjoy beautiful landscapes, gorgeous sunsets. We may enjoy beautiful melodic and harmonious music. We may enjoy the fragrance of beautiful roses, the taste of delicious health-building foods. Or we may turn these senses of sight, hearing, smelling, tasting into thinking we enjoy the lust of pornography, the beat and Satan-inspired rhythm of rock and roll or disco, the smell of tobacco smoke, or the taste of health-destroying rich foods or desserts. Likewise, God intended the sexual expression to give us, God is the giver, the extreme delightful sensations of the sense of feel that surpasses any enjoyment of the senses in the giving of sincere and genuine love to a husband or wife to whom God has bound one for life. The marriage union should be the most exquisite and delightful and rewarding experience of human life, unless it be the joy of the arrival of one's own baby. And the one is preliminary to the other, though God intended the sexual union to provide ecstasies in wholesome marital love repeatedly, in addition to the function of reproduction. God in His Word to us speaks of having our senses exercised by use to discern both good and evil uses, Hebrews 5:14. Even the unconverted person who has not received the Holy Spirit to dwell with the human spirit has the mind power to discern the difference between good and evil uses of the human five senses, their selfish gratification or wholesome enjoyments. God intended to bestow upon us humans the pleasures and delights of wholesome and right uses and enjoyments. And right enjoyments that are beneficial and lasting gravitate in the direction of giving, and destructive, and to us humans, non-beneficial uses stem from motives of getting, lust, covetousness, vanity, self-indulgence. Self-centered lustful pleasures corrode, injure, and tend to destroy the indulger. A first injection of heroin will produce in one sensations enjoyable momentarily, get one high, but that one leads to a desire for a second, and before it is realized, the simpleton who yielded to it is hooked, for it no longer produces such exhilarating sensations, but the body requires feeding the habit even to get back to normal. All physical sensations used lustfully or in a manner of self-indulgence do not prove as physically and devastatingly destructive as certain hard drugs, but in the end, they prove just as fatal. God gave us humans five senses. He intended them to be enjoyed, to give us wholesome and healthy pleasures. But they also may be put to wrong uses. God gave us mind power for sensual discernment. He holds us responsible for our conduct and utilization of that mind power in our human behavior. The way best for us is the way of give, outflowing love to God and love to fellow man. The very purpose of our being is the development of righteous, perfect spiritual character until finally we may become God beings, immortal as sons of God in the very supreme God family. Even the unconverted do have the human spirit. They have this marvelous mind power. They are held accountable for its right usage. And it's all a matter of attitude. Most marriages are rendered unhappy by wrong attitudes. Most people marry for selfish purposes. They think only of what they can get from the other. They want to extract gratification, pleasure, money, security, or something for self from the mate. True outgoing concern and love is usually lacking. It is hoped that this volume shall have brought to many thousands a right knowledge of the truth, helped thousands to a changed and right attitude toward sex, toward wife or husband, toward life, and toward God. God's law is the way to every happiness, whether in marriage, in business, in life. If you are one whose marriage has not been happy, perhaps on the rocks, change your attitude. Follow God's laws. Avoid the penalties of unhappiness, troubles, and curses. Reap the joys of divinely intended blessings. If you are unmarried, follow these living inexorable laws. Seek God's wisdom and guidance in the selection of a mate when the right time comes. Trust the living God. He has a deep and tremendous outgoing concern for you. Get your attitude toward sex cleaned up and in harmony with the Maker's purposes. Avoid every misuse or perversion. Reap the glorious rewards a loving God has intended and made available. The editors and producers of this volume wish God's richest blessings on every reader, and they will be yours if your attitude and your actions are in harmonious obedience to God's laws and His truth.
And with that, we complete the reading of the book by Herbert W. Armstrong, The Missing Dimension in Sex. Your reader has been Garland Snuffer.